بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 16th of July in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 117th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu. And I'm on the section in which I'm taking a glimpse into his phenomenal knowledge. And with regards to the Quran, he mentioned that I can, if I wish, give you 70 camel loads of tafsir of Surah Fatiha. So on the same theme, with regards to the Quran, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran was revealed in sab'ati ahruf, in seven modes. لِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ مِّنْهَا ذَلًا وَبَطْنًا. Indeed, for every letter or verse of the Quran, there is an apparent meaning and there is also a hidden meaning. This is recorded in Tabarani in his Awsat, number 773, Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, number 5403, or volume 9, page 278. So in this blessed hadith, directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet first mentioned the famous statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran was revealed in seven different recitals. But then he said, لِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ مِّنْهَا ذَرًا وَبَطْنًا. Every harf, now harf in Arabic, it either means our letter or hear the verse. Every letter of the Quran or verse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, has a clear meaning, an open meaning. But it has a hidden meaning. Now think about that. The Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if somebody says to you, for instance, you take a verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So what does that mean? It's all praises for Allah, the Lord of everything that exists. That's the open meaning. The Prophet said there's a hidden meaning as well. So why have I mentioned this here? Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu, every letter has an apparent meaning and also a hidden meaning. وَإِنَّ عَلِي ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ عنده من الظاهر والباطن. And Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu possesses both the apparent and the hidden. Recorded by Haji Khalifa in Kashif al-Zunnun, volume 1, page 429. So from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the Quran is fathomless. It has an open meaning, a hidden meaning. Ibn Mas'ud himself was a giant amongst the Sahaba. He said Ali radiyallahu, he has both that knowledge. He has the knowledge of the outward of the Quran and also the hidden. Abu Darda radiyallahu, he said, you will not have a complete understanding until you can see the Quran from various perspectives. This is recorded in Ahmad in his Zuhud, page 134, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 20473, Abu Na'im al-Hilya, 1-211, Hakim al-Tirmidhi in his Nawadir al-Usul, number 19. So Hakim al-Ummah, that's his title. The physician of the Ummah. You know, one of the great companions, radiyallahu, the teacher of Damascus. He said, you will not have complete understanding until you see the Quran has many, many meanings. So now a person goes, can you give us an example of that? Okay, I'll give you one. The verse of the Big Bang. In Surah Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ قَانَتَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were one solid mass, which we, and the word in the Quran is, فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا, which we split. Now, if you look at this verse, the modern commentators of the Quran, for example, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, he says, this is the verse which clearly indicates the Big Bang. But he then said, the early commentators, they gave the understanding of this verse to mean the earth opens up when the rain hits it, and the heaven opens up for the rain to come out of it. So the earth is closing and opening, and the heaven is closing and opening. So now a person goes, well, which one is it then? If the great people in the past said that this verse is talking about the heavens and the earth opening with the rain or the herbage, and the modern commentators are saying it's the Big Bang, different perspective. They're both correct. Mufti Taqi Uthmani says, the Quran is like this, right? And now in the modern age, the scientific age, you see many wonders in the Quran opening up. And yet, if you look at the earliest commentators, they're not going to start mentioning expansion of the universe, the big crunch, the big bang, but it's all there. And we shouldn't find that strange. Why? Because first, it suits the fathomless words of our Lord. When Allah Ta'ala speaks, He's going to have such a pregnant meaning. You'd expect that from His speech. To limit it to one, it's like, well, I'm not being funny, brother, but isn't that a human quality? So note, when you're reciting the Quran, you should be in awe, because we don't understand the full meanings of these verses. But who did? Allahu Akbar, think about that. Hazrat Ali. And he goes, ask me before you lose me. And unfortunately, the fitna kicked off. And he was so upset over this because he wanted to share his knowledge. This is one of the key reasons that most of the spiritual chains of tasawwuf go through Ali, because of his deep knowledge of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Abbas, what do you know about him? He was called by Ibn Mas'ud, who was greater than him, Tarjaman al-Quran. He is the interpreter of the Quran. Now, why did he say that? Ibn Mas'ud was his teacher. You don't call your student the interpreter. The reason Ibn Mas'ud called him that was because he knew he's going to live. He lived on 30, 40 years after Ibn Mas'ud. So Ibn Kathir goes, what else did he learn about the Quran after Ibn Mas'ud? So Ibn Abbas, Tarjaman al-Quran, look what he said. Whenever the Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, then Ali must be the initial person to be addressed. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid 9-125. Think about that. So when Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, He's talking to us, the one with Iman. But Ibn Abbas said, but the first one He's talking to is Ali. Now look how beautiful that is. Ali didn't say that about himself. Ibn Abbas, they never mentioned their own virtues. So imagine whenever Hazrat Ali heard that beautiful phrase, it was him. Now question goes to the mind. Why didn't Ibn Abbas say Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman? Why don't you ask him? Right? You know, we just hear what we've... the fact that you're questioning Sahaba. So the Sahaba says something, you know, throw your logic to one side. He must have had the greatest understanding. He's Tarjaman al-Quran. Because I'm not the first to be addressed. It's Ali. But keeping in mind this phenomenal knowledge, it makes sense. Why? Because he's going to explain the verse. Indeed, our beloved Mawlas showed great concern for the correct recital of the Quran. A lot of people don't know this. In Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 337, Sa'sa'a ibn Suhan, rahmatullah alayh, he said, a Bedouin once came to Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu, and he said, Ya Amir al-Mumini, how do you pronounce the words? And he thought it was a verse. So this Bedouin was really worried. He goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, this verse. And he recited it, the Bedouin. La ya'aqulu illa al-khatun. None eats it except those who walk. So there's a verse that he thought was in the Quran. And the Quran, what he thought says, whoever walks, they're going to eat the filth of hell. La ya'aqulu illa al-khatun. And then he says, Amir al-Mu'min, everybody walks. He goes, what? So hearing this, Ali smiled. And he said, no. He goes, this is the verse. La ya'akulu illa al-khati'oon. None eats it except those who have strayed, those who have erred. The Bedouin then responded with a sigh of relief. He went, he goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have spoken the truth. For Allah would never consign his servant unjustly to hell. I was thinking that. But the Quran, I thought, says wogs. Hazrat Ali then thought about this. He turned to Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, people have embraced Islam from all non-Arabs. Thus, you have to now devise something whereby they may prove their capacity for their tongue. Accordingly, Abu al-Aswad invented the short vowels, A, O, and E. Zabr, Zir. Or we give it different names, I don't know where that comes from. Right? But it was the student of Ali. So what mistake did that man make? Look what he said. La ya'akulu, that's correct. No one eats illa, except, this is the mistake, al khatun. He didn't put it on the top. How you say? Khati'un. He said khatun. He didn't, you know, he didn't, because he wasn't well versed in the Arabic. So because he lost that vowel point, he thought the Quran is saying those who walk are gonna eat from the fruits of hell. He goes, Mir al-Mu'minin, he goes, what hope have you got? He goes, no, he goes, Alal Khati'un, those who they're gonna eat from that. They go, oh, Allahu Akbar. So Ali radiallahu anhu then turned to one of the senior Tabi. He goes, look, I'm giving you the responsibility. He goes, make sure that you can give the Quran in a way that they don't make these mistakes. And this student, he put the vowel points there. Now think about it. What does that mean? It means who gets the reward? For Zabr, Zir, Pesh, Kalizir, you name it. I forgot the names of them, right? But it's Ali. He gets all them rewards. Who was that man? Obviously, I just mentioned that man. Okay, he's a great man. With regards to whom the Amir al-Mu'mineen appointed for this task, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he gave a brief bio. What did he say? In Al-Isaba, volume 2, page 232. His name is Zalim ibn Amr ibn Sufyan al-Du'ali al-Qinani, rahmatullah alayh. He is more commonly known as Abu al-Aswad. He related hadith from Umar, Ali, Mu'ad, Abu Dharr, Ibn Mas'ud, Zubair, and many others. Radiallahu ta'ala. He was the founder of the Arabic grammar after Ali had laid some rules for it and a group learned it from him. He participated in the Battle of Siffin with Ali, radiallahu, and was the first to dot the Quran in 67 AH during Abdullah ibn Zubair's Khalifat when he was 85. Allahu Akbar. Look at these people that we would have died without knowing. Just to hear, you know, something about these men creates a connection. So let's go through it simply. So what's his real name? Very easy to remember. Zalim. Zalim is oppressor. But that's his name, right? Zalim, the son of Amr, the son of Sufyan, from Al-Qinani. His kunyat is more famous for obvious reason. Abu al-Aswad. Who did he hear hadith from? Allahu Akbar. Two Amir al-Mu'mineen. He saw Umar, he saw Ali, he saw Mu'ad, he saw Abu Dharr ibn Mas'ud Zubair, senior tabi'in, you know, one of the major rank tabi'in. He was the founder of Arabic grammar after Ali. Why? Because Ali set the groundwork in place. He fought on the side of Ali in Siffin. So not only was he a scholar, he was also a warrior. And he was on the side of Ali, faithful to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And then look how amazing. Ali was martyred when? 40 AH. 67 AH, he started writing dots. The same man in Abdullah ibn Zubair's Khalifa. 27 years after Ali was martyred, he's still serving the Quran. So Ali had this brilliance. He knew where to turn. Now you ask people, because Hajjaj did it. Hajjaj. Because what did he do? One thing I know he did is kill Sahaba and Tabi'in. Because he poured Zabr and Zair on, right? And then you go, I don't know about these Zabr and Zair. It might be Indians from continent, right? But it's, and then when you mention the name, you should see. It just shocks people. No, but you know, I'm going to mention his name. You know, you probably never heard of him. His name is Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. And that glazed look, who the what? Right? Senior Tabi. Then from Umar Ali Zubair Ibn Masud. Don't you know who he is? I don't even know Sahaba, brother. Right? You know, you're telling me about senior Tabi. But he was one good deed of who? Ali. So notice Allah Ta'ala wanted honor to be given to Ali. So whenever you open the Quran, you see those Zabr Zairs. Kachink. He's in Firdaus now. Nah? He's still kachinking it. You take Zabr and Zair of Quran, most of us, we don't know what's happening. We'll say A instead of I, O instead of U, and instead of in. We know we need those vowel points. And look how beautiful. A Bedouin triggered it off. He came to Ali and Ali smiled. You know, he goes, oh, you made a very simple mistake. But he goes, okay, don't worry. Then he goes to the senior Tabin, sort it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him generously for his service to the Holy Book and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Ameen. So, question. Was Ali versed in the Quran? You know, people ask very strange questions, Yusuf. He was a perfect man. He was brought up in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was like his, you know, his protege, if you want of a better word. His blood was in his blood. He was, they had both had the same grandfather. Both his mother and father were both pure Hashimites. Fatima bint Asad and Abu Talib were full Hashimites, the first ever. And he's a direct, you know, from the Banu Hashim. He was a living giant, radiallahu. But you have to go through his life steadily so you get to understand his greatness. Now when I talked about the Quran, this is the impression I'm getting. That's all he did. He just served the Quran. And what about his jihad? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. And he goes, oh, what about his, and then you realize, what about his worship? How did he get all this in? Because when he came into this world, he didn't waste time. He was worshipping until the angel of death came. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now let's turn to the sunnah. What's his knowledge of the sunnah? Our beloved Mawla's knowledge of the sunnah was off the charts. Who said that? Our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ali radiallahu anha is the best living authority on the sunnah. Subhanallah. Ali radiallahu anha is the best living authority on the sunnah. This is recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat 2-38 Al-Istiyab, page 1104. So our mother, isn't she in the contention? If somebody was to say the greatest authority on the Sunnah is Aisha, you've got a solid case. You go through the virtues of our mother. She's basically stepped out. She's saying, I'm telling you, the greatest living authority, meaning not those who passed away, those who are still alive, the greatest is this man, Ali. So now, what does that mean? His knowledge of the Quran, human perfection. His knowledge of the Sunnah, human perfection. He was a perfect man. So Aisha, and also it's important to highlight these reports. Why? Because some fruitcakes, they think Aisha had a problem with Ali. If she had a problem with Ali, why is she mentioning he is the greatest living authority on the Sunnah? That's a funny way to have hatred for somebody. And if she has hated for him and she's made that statement, then she's actually shot herself in the foot. Because if somebody is the greatest living authority on the Sunnah and you got hated for him, so you made something up. You're lying about our mother. Astaghfirullah. Imam Sayyuti, look what he said, something fascinating. In Tarikh al-Khulafa, page 171, Imam Sayyuti said, Ali, radiallahu, related from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only 586 ahadith. So then a person goes, what did Imam Sayyuti say? Ali radiallahu anhu only related from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 586 ahadith. So then obviously you can't help it. He goes, I've got a question. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated thousands and thousands of hadiths. So if Ali is the greatest living authority on the Sunnah and he's only narrated just over 500 hadith, how can he be the greatest living authority on the Sunnah? Have you understood? If Abu Huraira narrates 7,000 hadith, Abdullah ibn Amr narrates 6,000 hadith, you know, whatever the numbers are, and you've got Ali, only 500. And that I'll mention tomorrow. There's a reason for this, right? There's a reason. He was the greatest living authority. The scholars have mentioned it. why, in terms of why he narrated so few hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all I mentioned today was basically again taking a glimpse into the fabulous knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, and he truly was a phenomenon. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شرعت سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم